listening to Paddy Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
Hello and welcome from beautiful Boston, Massachusetts, USA. It's episode 16 of Paddy Pigskin in association with DraftKings. I'm Gary Somerville, as always, and huge, huge, as Donald Trump would say, fantasy football news to kick off the show this week, as our amazing partners and Boston's very own DraftKings. They've launched in Ireland, so they're in my home country of the Republic of Ireland now. They were up in the north as part of the UK, but they're in the south now, which is fantastic. And this is fresh off the press news. I know it will delight many of our Irish listeners. They hear us, the likes of me, Jer, Barry, talk about it every week, but they couldn't play until this week. So we will get on to that a little bit later on. Coming up this week, I have Barry back on to break down another heartbreaker for me as his Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat my, Jesus, it's devastating, 0-4 New York football Giants. We'll talk about what went wrong and what went right, which wasn't really much for the Giants, for both teams, and we will make our picks for week 5. And we're going to have a bit of fun this week. We got serious last week, and rightfully so, with the NFL protests. But this week, we're going to have some crack. Well, not crack. Well, actually, maybe some crack cocaine as well. We're going to have a bit of fun. I'm taking off my football hat this week, and I'm putting on my lab coat and goggles. I'm a scientist. Myself and Barry, we are going through some of the best bits and the worst bits of the GOAT, Tom Brady's new book, The TB12 Method. So it's Journal Club here at Paddy Pigskin. And despite it being full of a lot of bullshit, it's somehow number 2 or something like that on the Amazon bestsellers list. So we're going to pick it apart. We're going to joke around. We're going to have a bit of fun with it. And it's going to be no butthurt allowed. If you're a Pats fan and you love Brady, he's a great player. I respect him. But he's not a medicine man. He's not a scientist. So we have to rip him to shreds a little bit on this week's show. So stay tuned for all of that fantastic football knowledge in your ears this week on episode 16. And that, of course, is the call from one of the most famous players ever. The catch, a pass from the one and only, number 16, Joe Montana, to wide receiver Dwight Clark, with less than a minute to go, to beat the Cowboys 28-27 in the NFC Championship game in 1982. Joe Clifford Montana Jr. was born in New Eagle, Pennsylvania in 1956 and played his college football at Notre Dame. He played QB there from 1974 to 1978, and he won a national championship with the Fighting Irish in 1977. He was drafted with the 82nd pick overall in the third round of the 1979 NFL draft by, of course, the San Francisco 49ers, and went on to play 14 seasons with the Niners and one with the Kansas City Chiefs. He quickly established legendary status in San Fran. He led his team to Super Bowl 16 victory over the Cincinnati Bengals. And he then went on to win 3 more Super Bowls. He won Super Bowl 19 versus Dan Marino's Dolphins. He won Super Bowl 23 versus the Bengals again. And then he won Super Bowl 24 the following year, where he smashed John Elway and the Broncos 55-10. Of these 4 Super Bowls, he won 3 MVP trophies. And he went on to 8 Pro Bowls and was league MVP in 1989 and 1990. And he won the Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year in 1990 as well. He's part of the 1980s All-Decade team, and his 49ers number 16 is retired. Stats-wise, he finished with a whopping 3,409 completions for 40,551 yards. He had 273 touchdowns to 139 ints and a passer rating of 92.3. And of course, he is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. So, episode 16, Joe Montana, this one is for you.
Flag throw, looks to be against the Giants.
another heartbreaker for the Giants. Barry, congratulations. Welcome back. Your Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat my Giants.
Just want to say it right now. Called it on a previous pod. We were going to beat you.
He did.
I will fully admit, I did not believe for a split second we were actually going to make the field goal to actually win it. I was sitting there 23-22, and I was like, we're going to lose this damn game on another missed kick.
Well, it looks like a good decision that they held on to Nick Folk
instead
over
of
Roberto Aguayo. So he did something. I had a feeling he was going to make it myself. Just the fact that he missed his, you know, three other field goals, I was like, he's going to make this one. You know, I always say bad teams find a way to lose. And not to take that away from the kick, he still made the kick. But again, the Giants found another way to lose.
And I thought that was us that day, honestly. We're like, we were up for a while, and my friends were like, hey, you should be feeling really good. Totally going to win this game. And I was like, I just feel like we're going to find some way to mess it up. And then as a result, when we're kicking that, like, I know this is great that you and I are having the exact same perspective here on our teams.
Oh, yeah, absolutely,
like,
yeah.
When he was lining up to make the kick, I was like, oh, just fuck me. This is just not going to work out. Luckily, slid in. It was not a good-looking kick at all.
No, it wasn't. It knuckled just, over there.
It went in. That's all that counts. But, yeah, no, it was a little scary.
That's all that matters. So, 25-23 to the Buccaneers. We'll just break down the battle of the quarterbacks first of all. So I'll start with my boy, Eli Manning. 30 completions for 49 attempts, rather. 288 yards, 2 touchdowns, no sacks, no wins. Quarterback rating of only 79.6. Not the worst performance in the world. And again, it comes back to him having to do everything.
I agree with that. And it's hard because, like, you guys need to get a run game going or else it's going to be a long season for him. You guys actually got a little bit going with Gallman midway through, which I was really surprised by. I think it actually has some good fantasy implications later. But honestly, like, this was not a bad game from Eli whatsoever.
No, and he hasn't, up until that game, he was actually the fifth-ranked quarterback through 3 weeks.
It's a hard part where, like, again, the offense is going to overinflate some stats because he has to do so much of it.
Sure.
But it's just a hard part when you are the one doing most of the offense and you just haven't won the game yet.
Yeah, and I was a little bit annoyed by the fact that he was going under center again because
There's no line, so why not just take everything in a shotgun?
Exactly. Last week he was under shotgun for most of it, and he did really well because he had Jer was on here a week or two ago, and he came up with some stats when he was in the shotgun, getting the ball out in 2 seconds, a lot more production. This time they had him back under center again, I guess because they wanted to really help establish a ground game, and they got 91 yards in total.
But it's better, but, like, you know, it's not where it needs to be either. The hardest part there is, like,
and 22 of those yards came from Eli.
I know.
Including the 14-yard scamper, which was fucking crazy. I think he was like, what's going on?
When I saw this at halftime and I saw that Eli Manning was your leading rusher, I went, okay, this is kind of funny.
And they brought in the rookie, like you said, Gallman. He's a rookie from Clemson.
Fourth rounder, right?
Yeah. And he scored, I think he scored 15 touchdowns or something for Clemson. He had 1,200 yards.
He got one Sunday also, so there we go.
42 yards on 11 carries. Not bad.
The big thing to me is, like, this is a game that's going to be classic evidence of everyone who's clamoring for, like, is this Eli's time? Is he done? Just shut up. Like, he's fine. There's no issue with him. You need to have a line that can open up running holes and make his life easier.
Yeah.
He's not a top 10 quarterback, but by no means is he, like, a bottom 5 quarterback who needs to be replaced. We've seen a lot of guys just hang around teams, and it's fine because the team's good enough to win.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it hard.
Yeah, and it was disappointing, like, the amount of yards, just looking at some of the stats here. Beckham, 7 receptions, 90 yards. His tight end, rookie tight end, Ingram, 6 receptions, 62.
He's been looking good.
It's about time we had a good tight end. Shepard, 54 yards. Marshall, 46 yards. But no TDs out of the 4 of them, which is disappointing. The TD ended up coming from Rhett Ellison, who was kind of more like a blocking tight end. He's the one that scored it, so for all the talking these 4 guys do, not enough production in my eyes so far through 4 games.
I agree. I think it's a hard part because touchdowns are obviously one of the more random stats within football in that sense. I think Beckham getting 7 catches, 90 is okay. But again, to a guy like that, you expect him to, like, and I know it's not fair, but you basically expect him to break 100 every week.
Sure.
Because of how talented
Look
this
at his
guy
resume,
is.
Yeah.
No, exactly. He breaks. Point. Like, I think Ingram, if he can average 50 or 60 yards for you guys per game, that's huge.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely more than what our previous tight ends would have been getting.
Well, I mean, we got, like, Will Tye and
Will Tye.
Donnell, there we go.
Larry Donnell. He was a good red zone target, to be fair, but, you know.
You remember
wasn't
that story
really
when he put up the 3 touchdowns and he benched himself in fantasy football?
Oh, Jesus.
Which I love that. He's like, come on, man, it was me or Gronk.
In fairness.
I don't blame him at all, but it's pretty funny.
And defensively, just to wrap up on my side of the ball, I suppose, only one sack. And that's a half. That was a half from Jason Pierre-Paul. The two French guys, Jason Pierre-Paul and Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, and no wins. So, I mean, defensively, like, it's crazy that people are tagging me in memes on Facebook every day. The Giants are shit. The Giants are shit. They're 0-4, but they have so much talent. It's crazy that they're 0-4.
But you realize that they have a shot to be the most talented 0-16
team. Seriously, it's like, it just goes to show you that you can have all these individuals. If they're not playing as a team, it's no good.
Well, and the hard part for this is, like, it's not even that they're not playing as a team. It's just that they're not winning the close games at the end. Yeah. Like, because you saw that stat from last year, like, they were, I want to say, like 8-2 or 9-1 in one possession games.
And the year before, they were losing all those games. Yeah. And now this year, they're back to losing them again.
Exactly. And like, you see just how random that can be sometimes. Yeah. Like, that's the hard part. Because, like, this kind of brings me, I guess, to my side right now with Jameis, is that I fully expected you guys to give him a lot more trouble than you did. Mm. And I was genuinely surprised with how well he played.
You did say you were giving up on him, but...
I did.
You're a fan of him again now, are you?
So, here's the thing. I'm a fan of the Bucks first. Jameis, way down that line. There's a lot of other guys I'd be rooting for before.
Okay.
If the Bucks can win, regardless of who's the QB, I'm happy about it. Because, you know, you want your team to win.
Yeah.
And we'll get into it later when we make the picks. But it's like, if there's a point where I can see, like, this could really turn into something this year, yeah, sure, of course I'll root for him. I'll root for everyone because I want the team to win. We haven't done anything big in 15 years.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, if he blows the next few games and it looks like just another wasted season, yeah, I'll get right back on the train of saying, like, this is the problem. Because, like, no, but because at the end of the day...
Oh, you're right.
He either needs to show that he can change what's happened...
Yeah, or move not. On, yeah.
Exactly,
absolutely,
because
if
you're just another guy who's going to continue the trend we've had of just being mediocre, I don't want to deal with the other baggage.
Yeah, that's fair enough. He had 22 completions from 38 attempts, 332 yards, 3 touchdowns. One of those is a nice chunk from OJ Howard
who Houdini'd himself into the outfield.
It was amazing. He just slipped through on a play action.
Photos of it where it's OJ and there's no more than 25 yards of him. They've actually measured out a circle.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, it was. He just slipped in behind the linebackers and there was no accountability. You know.
It was one of those passes where you're like, I could be an NFL quarterback when you have a guy that open, and you forget about obviously everything else that happens with it.
And they had good production from their tight ends because their other one, and I had him in my DraftKings lineup, and it was bittersweet because it pretty much won me our league, but
also lost you your game.
Yeah, so it was like, that's why it's very hard when you
actually
have
week to
guy.
Week. Which would you rather do? Win your DraftKings league or have the Giants win?
I'm happy that I've won one DraftKings league now. I have some money in the pot now. I'd rather the Giants get a few wins.
All right, that's fair.
It is bittersweet though.
Of course, yeah.
I was talking to one of the guys in the DraftKings. He said he's an Eagles fan, and he never plays guys that are playing the Eagles because he can't.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want them to do well. Yeah.
So, Winston had a fumble.
Winston had a fumble. Defense did okay. Like, running game starting to shape up a little bit, but not really.
No sacks from the Tampa Bay defense.
No, but here's
given
the thing.
How bad the Giants' O-line is.
We're missing so many linebackers right now. Our corners are in bad shape. Like,
everybody's beat up really there,
exactly,
aren't they?
And that's what makes it really hard right now is that, like, we have a, like, half-baked defense.
Get Randy Bullough in.
I know, right?
Or Riley Bullough, rather.
I know.
He's probably knocking on the door there
Joe
now.
Dirt, yeah.
Joe Dirt, get him in there.
No, I agree. But, like, here's the hard part. It's just, like, you know, this is a game where, like, I can say, like, I'm happy we won. But at the same point, it does nothing to change my perspective on where this team is going right now or what really is possible until I see us do this against good, like, I'm sorry, but, like, you know, top-tier playoff teams.
Oh, yeah. Giants aren't a top-tier team at the moment. Yeah. I don't think they will be. I think they're toast. Get a fork in them. They're done for 2017.
I can agree with that, but I think the other part of this is also for you guys is, like, this is the year, if there ever was a year, where it would be great to finish somehow in the top two or, like, the number one pick, trade down, and get a lot of other picks, and you start hoarding up that line.
Yeah.
Because right now, your issue is in quarterback. It's not wide out. It's not any of those. It's just getting protection.
Yeah, and they didn't address it. I've said it, like, numerous times on this podcast. They never addressed the O-line.
Yeah.
And even the linebackers.
If there's ever a year where it's going to happen, it's probably this year.
Yeah.
Because we're going to see what happens is, hey, that same defense that carried us to an 11-5 record.
Yeah.
Now we can't win a game.
And Jerry Reese will be gone if he doesn't get things improved.
I think Bob McAdoo's gone at the end of the season if it doesn't look better. And it's hard, and I know that the Maras don't like to be firing anyone that early, but, like, at some point or another, like, it's on the coach if you went from 11 and 5 to, let's call it, maybe 4 and 12.
Yeah, that's a massive, massive drop-off.
Yeah.
Yeah,
to a point where, like, are you not controlling the locker room? What's going on? Does someone else need to do this and galvanize the team better?
Someone has to be held accountable.
Yeah, and that's hard.
So you have trivia here, do you? You have some Giants Buccaneers trivia that we'll wrap up on the Giants Bucs talk.
I had promised this a while ago, and I want to ask you, it's going to be 4 questions.
And I totally forgot, so I'm not prepared now. Yeah. I'm not sounding like a jackass, but let's go for it.
So this is the fun part. So Bucs and Giants have played 21 times in the history of the NFL since the Bucs have existed.
Okay, so post Super Bowl era, is it?
So since the Bucs were created in the 70s. Okay. So everything's been post Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to guess the first part of this, but I want you to guess the second too.
Okay.
Which team has won more of the matchups, and how many have they won?
Ooh. That's a tough one. I will say 21 matchups, was it?
21 total.
I will say 12-9 Giants.
Okay. So you're correct. Giants have won more.
Okay.
14-7.
All right. I underestimated them, as I have been doing at the moment.
The Bucs got us to half the win total this week. Yeah, it was huge. A real huge comeback.
Okay, So I'm 1-for-1. I'm doing all right.
No, I'm impressed. I'll give you 1.5 out of 2 right now.
Okay, all right.
Who has the longest winning streak in the rivalry, and how many games?
Ooh.
These are completely random, I know.
I will say the Bucs won 4. On the row. Four in a row.
All right. Now, I appreciate the credit. The Bucs have never won more than 2 in a
really?
Row. Really? Giants have had a 4 and a 5-game winning streak against the Bucs.
Fuck, so I got the 4 right. I just, again, I'm underselling my team. All right. No,
so
that's...
you basically dominated the 2000s against the Bucs.
Okay. So I started following the Giants in 2004.
Yeah.
So some of those, I don't know the exact dates of the wins. Yeah. Maybe
so
one or two
then,
of them could have been
you've played the Bucs 7 times and you've won 6 of them.
Jesus. Okay.
So... you know, pretty good.
Pretty good.
8 times you won 6 of them. But yeah,
okay.
Pretty good
overall.
Okay, third question. What is the most points that any team has scored in the rivalry? Rivalry is in quotes there.
It's a rivalry because we're on the show.
It's our
talking
rivalry,
about it. most points scored in a matchup, I would say...
just by one team. You don't really need to worry about a total here.
See, I know Eloy doesn't put up crazy points, so I'm thinking of all the games that Eloy would have played. I would say 32.
41.
Really?
And now it's going to link to this other part. So I'll tell you, is in 2012.
Okay.
This is where we saw Josh Freeman.
Yes.
Our Lord and Savior.
Who actually ended up on the Giants briefly.
I know.
Yeah.
Praise be upon him. now I'm going to tell you this. This is your final question. Eloy had 510 passing yards in this game in 2012. 3 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Oh, I remember those.
And you guys win this game, scored 25 points in the fourth quarter to win.
Yeah.
So my question for you is, who was his leading receiver in that game?
Wow. 2012.
Had 199 receiving yards and a touchdown.
Jesus. Steve Smith.
Hakeem Nicks.
Oh, he was my boy.
Yeah, this is where you had Hakeem Nicks go for 199 and Victor Cruz go for 179 in the same game.
I thought this was a bit of a curveball. I was like, it's not going to be like one of their starting receivers. Cruz had 170.
So that was the game where Cruz had an 80-yard touchdown in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
Yeah, so you had two guys break 170 yards in the same game for your same team.
We need those days back again.
I know.
All right, so I got 1 hour. I'm happy with the 1.
No, I know. These are completely random. I just wanted to see how... I figured if I focus on a more recent game, I want to see what you thought on it.
All right, so now we're going to get to the picks in a while for week 5, but we're going to have some fun now.
I'm so excited for this.
But before we get to that fun, got to remind you about our partners, DraftKings. So football season has begun, but it's not too late to get closer to the game you love. With DraftKings 1 week fantasy football. This Sunday, DraftKings is hosting a $100,000 contest and it's totally free to get enter as always. Doesn't cost you a single cent or dollar to enter. With DraftKings, there's many ways to play. You can choose between public contests with big cash prizes. So we enter a few contests every weekend in with the masses, or private contests where you can compete against a group of your friends. Now here is the big news. DraftKings is now available in Ireland. So all you guys in Ireland that listen to the show, that love fantasy football, that hear us talking about it every week, that haven't been able to play, you can play now. So DraftKings is available in Ireland. So I urge all of you fantasy football fans to sign up and join our league, because we have a nice little league going on now. I think we're up to about 16 people. So there's also beginner and casual contests where you'll play against people of similar skill levels. So if you're in a league with us, chances are most of us are on a similar level to yourself. We've only been playing a while. And the best part, now this is the best part, you get to draft a new team each week without any commitment. So for some of you guys, this will be a new way to play. You're used to getting stuck with predominantly the same team throughout the season, but here you get to completely draft a new lineup every weekend. So when guys like David Johnson or Dalvin Cook go down injured, you don't have to be making any moves to your team for the rest of the year. You can pick a new team next week. So get to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code Paddy, P-A-D-D-Y, and sign up and get into our league. It's the Paddy Pigskin League. So once you've signed up, let me know. Send me your username. I will invite you to the Paddy Pigskin League. You can compete against me and the lads. Try and win a few quid. Bit of shit talking and a bit of fun at the end of the day. So sign up to DraftKings now with Paddy. And you'll also be in with a chance to win a free contest. And there's $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday. That's Paddy to compete for your share of $100,000 in total prizes. It's totally free. Why wouldn't you try? DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, so we took it a little bit serious last week. Had Leah on, and we were chatting about the NFL protests. And, you know, rightfully so, we should have covered it. So this week, we're going to lay back a little bit and have a bit of fun. So no other podcast is doing this. I'm almost certain that no other podcast is doing this shit. But
at least not with the slant you're taking on.
No, yeah. No. And they're definitely not scientists that are doing it either. So I was in Target during the week and I was walking along. And what did I see? I saw the TB12 method by Tom Brady.
Our Lord and Savior, yep.
The Lord and Savior of New England. And I saw his latest book. And it's already on sale. So it was $29.99 and it was reduced to 30% off.
Wow. Seems to be selling out great right now, though.
Yes. So it actually is somehow, despite all the bullshit that's in it.
Selling, I know.
It's actually like number two or something on the Amazon list.
But here's the thing, crazy. Though, you know how many people in New England wanted to order this just to be put in a frame say like I had this?
Crazy. So me being a scientist and me knowing that there's a lot of bullshit in this book, I thought we'd have a little bit of fun and we'll go through some of the best bits.
So I'm really excited for this part, because when I was looking through some of the tidbits that I saw, I was like, none of this seems correct to me. But I was really waiting until I saw you to actually confirm some of this. And I'm glad to see you have the same perspective, which
yes,
is,
of course,
20% what works for me and 120% bullshit.
Yeah, you're right. He does put those qualifiers in. He's like, this is what I believe in. You know, he knows that he can't be stating it as fact, but, you know, people are going to take it as fact.
But at the same point, Peyton believed in the Papa John's diet. So we can't say that. And not everything these guys believe is perfectly right.
True. So I'm gonna dust off this beast of a book. It weighs about 5 or 6 pounds.
This gigantic, by the way. Like, it's actually like, so for the people who are just like, listening right now, it's about a foot tall, which is like a little bit bigger than it needs to be.
And this is a solid.
I think Brady just wants his cover photo to be a little bit bigger.
And by the way, it's just his massive face on the front.
Yeah,
so
just so gorgeous, obviously. Yeah.
He is a handsome bastard. I'll give him that. So, gonna start off. The first topic which I have a problem with, and there are many that I have a problem with, is Chapter 7. It's about water. H2O. Yeah. It's all about hydration. And it's 7 pages of text devoted to hydration.
Seems like a lot.
Yeah, I mean, like, people shouldn't need 7 pages to know to fucking drink more water.
Exactly,
like, it's
right? Yeah.
It's regular knowledge. People don't do it, but they know they should. They just don't do it.
So the one part that always came up crazy there was, so, and you were talking to me about this earlier, the quote in there, the like, I drink so much more water and now I realize I just don't get sunburns anymore.
Yeah, so that's the big one was, he said that one of the extracts, he basically said, growing up as a fair-skinned Irish kid, he, you know, drinking lots of water basically prevented him from getting sunburn, which is fucking awful to be saying to people. Like, and this issue in particular is close to my heart. My own mother had skin cancer. She's fine now, but like, that's very irresponsible to be saying, you know, the reason I didn't get sunburned was because I drank loads of water. There's literally no research to back it up.
Well, because that's the hard part too, is like, I'm fine when you say these things, and this is going to kind of boil into a larger issue I'm going to have with the book here, which is, I'm fine if these are things that you believe, but the second you put them into print and say, hey, now that I've done this, this doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You convince someone who maybe doesn't know any better that that's what works.
Yeah.
And then they get the negative results from it. And that's where, like, I get into this bigger issue of this, is that, hey, this can work for this lifestyle and what you're doing with this.
Yeah. You just got to be careful when you're saying those things, you know?
No, yeah, because, like, you don't know, like, especially with, in the case of you being Tom Brady, and you have a fanatic, like, follower, like, following.
And people are
like,
dumb.
People are going to, like, cling to these things.
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm labeling that fake news. That's the Paddy Pigskin fake news stamp that's going on.
I feel like this might be hammering a few more times.
Yes, and you know, we're drinking a beer here as we're going through this book, so
as
you know,
we should, yeah.
The fake news claim will probably get louder and more passionate as we go through. So yeah, no claims to back it up whatsoever. Fake news on that one. So that's the first one out of the way. Let me just go through this monstrosity of a book.
How many pages is it total?
It is, let me see, it's, by the way, there's lots of amazing photos of Tom, like that water chapter.
Yeah, if you want to get the calendar of him, it's basically the book too.
Stunning. It's just him drinking a glass of water, staring off into the distance. The amount of pages are, it's hard. There's many of the pages just have pictures. They don't have numbers, and it's him. It's about over 300 pages.
300 yeah. pages.
And this is, we'll get to it later on. This is just one book.
Oh, there's actually, course. The set, right?
There's more books that you have to follow. It's like fucking Scientology or something.
Yeah, the other ones tell you how to blend your smoothies.
Exactly. Okay, we will get on to the second topic. Muscle pliability. Have you ever heard of muscle pliability?
Not before Brady.
Okay, so muscle pliability. I'm going to read out a little bit. I think it's good for us to actually read out parts.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
They call pliability the missing leg. Okay, so
not link or anything like that.
No, okay. The missing leg. So you have your strengthening and conditioning. Well, pliability is the missing leg.
Okay.
Improved muscle pliability transforms vicious cycle into a virtuous cycle.
Oh.
So they say if you're only doing strength and conditioning, you're basically strengthening up, you're getting hurt, and then you're trying to rehab again. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of good pictures again. Brady massaging himself. Different facial expressions. The first one, when you open the chapter,
the like, oh right, yeah, here. And he's like rubbing his leg.
Yeah, yeah, and he has a nice little bicep flex going on there. He's got the TB t-shirt on and everything. He's got the full works on. And this bit I like a lot. Doing self-pliability on my left calf. Always stroking towards the heart. So, I mean, that could mean lots of different things.
I don't know who thinks that's a real saying that you should, like, try to publish in a book that's related to you. But, you know, you're Tom. You can't do
you
any
do
wrong.
You, Tom.
You can't do any wrong in New England.
Right. So, I'm gonna talk about the missing leg a little bit.
Yeah.
So, proper prehab and whole body wellness.
You said prehab?
Prehab, yeah.
Okay. So, before
I guess
rehab. Yep.
Pliability is, like, you know, doing these things to your muscles. To
so, you don't have that rehab.
Exactly.
Yeah. How genius.
So proper prehab and whole body wellness can significantly lower risk of injury and enable sustained peak performance. Our methods, so nobody else's methods, just him and Alex Guerrero, who's a fucking con artist. Our methods complement strengthening and conditioning with a critical missing leg of athletic preparation, pliability. Pliable muscles are long, they are soft, and capable of full muscle pump function. Now, we're two dudes. We know there are certain muscles that are capable of full pump function, but that's for another.
And they usually grow, yeah.
Yes, they usually grow and lengthen. They improve strength and promote circulation of blood and lymph to facilitate healing.
Mm.
We improve pliability through deep force muscle work and further promote it through hydration and nutrition. Together with the right strengthening and conditioning, our program helps break the vicious cycle of injury and creates a virtuous circle of sustained peak performance.
So, okay.
So what do you think about that?
So again, so I know in the way you're reading it, like we're obviously naturally going to be saying like, you know, we like stamp again like the fake news and this and like call it bullshit.
Yeah.
I will give him one part point of credit, and it's killing me to do this, but I will, which is there is a point towards greater flexibility training that I don't think enough athletes have done in the past that you see a rise of now.
That's true.
I've seen Antonio Brown. I follow him on Snapchat. Every single day he's doing an hour or two of flexibility training per day. Just consistently get the hamstrings loose, get the quads loose, get his calves loose. So the point when he has to be running around, he is more easy to be recovering from that.
Yeah.
But we also know the NFL is a destructive sport to a point where if all I'm doing is pliability training to strengthen myself and I get nailed by a 300-pound lineman, I'm dead.
Yeah, you're getting drilled.
Like, I'm 185 like right now. Like, if I get, like, and I'm 6'1", like, I'm not, like, short by that means. If I get drilled by a 300-pound lineman, I'm not walking for a week.
No, seriously. So you got to have a bit of padding in there, you know?
Yeah, and this is the point, like, to me, which seems ridiculous, is that they're so hard on this routine to say that all we do is this pliability training, and I get stronger and stronger through the workout of my exercise bands, which he goes on to pub, like, through the this entire book.
Yes, we will get to that soon.
To the point where, like, I don't believe for a second that if you were another NFL quarterback and you tried to perfectly emulate this, and, like, let's say you actually perfectly emulated this, you would still get destroyed.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So this is, like, this whole pliability thing is part of the TB12 exercise nutrition program. So he developed it with his, whatever the fuck a body coach is, his body coach, Alex Guerrero. We'll get into his failings a little bit later on. But basically, pretty much what they say is, Mr. Guerrero's theory, for good health and prolonged athletic performance, we need our muscles to be pliable. So they're not the same as flexible muscles. Flexible muscles are soft and not dense, is what he and Brady say. Dense, stiff muscles are easily injured, according to this book. So,
yeah.
But the problem is, here's the problem. Exercise science has never heard of muscle pliability.
Yeah.
And I'm a scientist. I'm on PubMed all the time. So I did a quick PubMed search.
Nothing there, right?
There's literally no scientific studies on PubMed about muscle pliability. There is one study about, like, the general topic, and it's about embalming techniques.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, where he's probably 50 years away from needing to be embalmed. So, so are we giving that the fake news, Stan?
I think we're giving
it
the fake news.
Is it fake news? All right. Fake news from Paddy Pigskin. Okay, we're going to move on to a little bit about the food now.
Okay.
So, as well as it being, you know, a book about training and all that kind of stuff, we all know, we may not practice what we preach, but we all know that nutrition and shit like that falls in line.
Arguably the most important thing.
Most important part. They say abs are made in the kitchen. Not that I have abs, but apparently they're made in the kitchen.
See, I never knew this. All I needed to be doing was doing crunches in the kitchen, and it would have worked so much better.
50 million
doing
crunches.
Doing them in the gym, and it's been doing nothing.
So, in regards to the nutrition, there's about 50 pages of nutritional advice and recipes. And again, first page, a wonderful picture of Brady. He's got a bowl of rabbit food, and he's looking into the distance, and there's not one fucking sign of meat at all.
So,
and I'm like,
this
part, gotta
be
meat in there.
This part I'll give him slightly. So,
okay.
From the perspective,
I'll hear you out. Go for it.
Arian Foster, for his entire career, was like a renowned vegan. To the point where, like, he would be having beans, veggies, things like that. No byproduct, no meats, anything like that.
And he's going to burn in hell. Because he's atheist as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll see him there myself, whatever.
So I'll join you guys. there's, like, no debate there. But the reality is, like, I've seen cases of this work out where guys can actually sustain strength and be okay and continue to take hits.
You see on Instagram and stuff, there's, like, vegan bodybuilders and stuff. And they're in
good
shape.
And to that point, like, I'm not going to call, like, fake news bullshit any of that on this.
Okay.
The thing for me, though, is that I think there's such this huge emphasis, and this is the part that is hard, is that his diet is something that he says, like, oh, everyone can do.
Mm.
But not really, though. He's like, when he wants to have dessert, he'll have almond-crusted, like, something pie. I remember this. It was, like, an almond crust with, like, a...
off Giselle's ass.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
why,
like,
I mean,
which,
why not?
Which definitely helps
make it go down
easier.
It helps morale, if anything else.
Definitely.
That's the point where, like, you know, the amount of avocados this guy has in a day, like, compared to everything else, like,
unbelievable.
It's not like, think about, you know, a regular person, like, on a regular salary, they can never afford to do this kind of diet he's talking about.
No.
And that's the part that I get a little bit annoyed with, is, like, I get it that, like, you as a star athlete have more money than we do. Like, there's no debate there. I get this. But don't try to preach your diet as something that everyone can do with everything and then try to sell me your $200 pajama pants at the same time and say, this is how I do it.
You're not, like, got the pajamas yet. No.
I know, exactly. I'm so behind. No, but the reality is, like, at one point or another, you're either trying to sell us your brand or you're trying to actually sell a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Pick one of the two and don't act like you're doing both.
Yeah.
Purely
very,
tell
very
me,
point.
Here's some things you can do and here are, like, cheaper ways of how you can eat with this kind of diet.
Yeah.
Or just say, if you're rich like me, here's what I did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And in fairness, we're not calling fake news on this yet. He does make a few good points. Like, He does the classic ones, like avoid sugar-based stuff.
Yeah,
and processed carbs. We all know that.
But like to his point, like he takes it to a whole other level. Like he does not have tomatoes because they have like acidic sugar.
Yeah, so like you said, there is a good section about him staying away from nightshade plants. So some common nightshade plants, whether you're in Ireland or America, if you're in Ireland, you say tomatoes. Yep. If you're in America, you say tomatoes.
Yep.
Strawberries, eggplants, potatoes, a big one. Can't be avoiding potatoes if you're in Ireland, first of all. You will wither like a fucking autumn leaf and die if you try and stay away.
I was
going to
say, like, game over right there.
Yeah, like, your book is not selling anymore in Ireland because you said stay away from potatoes.
How do you know?
So he says stay away from nightshades. And here's one. He focuses on foods high in alkalinity and cut back on foods that raise acid levels in our blood. And some of these include salmon.
Okay.
Which, salmon, like processed beef, stuff like that, which, yep, you know, most nutritionists would probably be fine with those type of foods.
I can see it. So I've seen a ton of the, like, don't have the red meats, don't have, like, your porks, beefs, like, things like that. I've seen less on the fish side of it, especially because I think people say, as far as most meats, it's usually one of the, like, purer ones.
Yeah.
I can get his point here, but, like,
at the same point, eat a lot of salmon in Ireland as well, by the way. So
I mean,
that's
same here in the States. Like,
that's two strikes, like.
So for me, whenever I'm out, like, actually trying to, like, cut weight, be on a diet, just eat healthier, like, it's basically just chicken and fish.
Yeah.
So, like, I totally get the red meat point.
Yeah.
The fish one is a little bit harder for me to rationalize entirely.
It's just the fact that it's his reasoning for it, saying that it raises, acid levels.
But at the same
like
point,
that,
like, the book never goes into telling you, like, why that matters. Or, like, if you even were to raise it a little bit, like, here's how I would feel with my body compared to anything else. Like,
yeah.
For all the crap on the side, like, this is the point where I actually thought he could have made a really good imprint onto people, which is, yeah, you may not be able to perfectly replicate his diet or anything like that, but the idea of, like, hey, I don't eat salmon because it does this, this, and this, and not because of here's some reason that you not to look up on PubMD to, like, what in the world is this?
Yeah, exactly. And, like, mainstream nutritional science, that's fine with, like, it's fine with the likes of nightshades, like tomatoes and stuff like that, and it does support alkaline diets. So,
again, to this point, I'm not calling any fake news yet on this.
No fake news on this, but, like, not completely 100% true news, maybe.
No, I think it's slightly stretched to support a different point on it, yeah.
And it's worth noting that Mr. Guerrero, who is a self-taught exercise guru,
of course, as they all are,
he's twice been investigated by the Federal Trade Commission for making unsubstantiated health claims about products he developed. Including a nutritional supplement that supposedly protected athletes against concussions.
Is that what Russell Wilson was drinking in that NFC Championship?
It must have been. And the TB12 method doesn't mention his past. So you basically know nothing about him.
Well,
but he's a shady motherfucker and he's done some shit.
Yep.
But, you know, he's Brady's best mate. So he's like, you know.
But to be fair, like, Brady's also done some shit.
Yes.
By, like, which, you know, the public perspective of it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We could be all night talking about those. And like I said, he doesn't really explain or justify the choices he makes. Do you know why? Because you need to consult a separate TB12 nutritional manual available for $200 at the TB12 store. So this is like a little dick tease. This is a little taster into the nutrition and diet of
and
the five-time Super Bowl champion quarterback.
And this is the part to me where, like, I get annoyed with this. Is that, like,
you're not annoyed already?
I'm annoyed with a lot of it. There are some points that, like, I'll say it's okay. But, like,
right.
The thing to me is, like, if you want this to be something where, like, the people who rooted for you can actually see and get to know you, don't make them pay hundreds of dollars just to read it.
Oh, yeah. It's a pure scam. Like, it's a pure money-making scheme.
I know.
Right, we're going to get on to our last part about reading out some shit from Tom Brady's book and ripping them to shreds.
Here we go.
So, workouts. So, there's a section on workouts and stuff like that. It's about 30 pages, and most of it's resistant band-based workouts.
Seems about right.
And again, we have another intense picture of a shirtless Brady this time. So
that's worth the price of admission on that.
Absolutely. That's actually the reason why I bought it.
$21, why not?
Well worth every fucking red cent. Now, he does look a little bit better than he did in his combine footage, where he looked like a sack of shit standing next to that
sign.
It's
the funniest change ever to see that.
It's
like him, like, being drafted out of Michigan with, like, the weird haircut and, like, so skinny.
And he had these
and he ran
horrible
the over 5 second 40.
Horrible little pair of underwear on as well. I think this is, like, the Copacabana body that he has going on. So he's, like, waxed to bits and he's tanned. And it's the Giselle effect.
Oh, yeah. Giselle has done wonders for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's doing a press up with the bands. So, we'll go into the bands a little bit. He shows off a variety of different resistance bands. He has light, he has medium, he has heavy.
How much are they for sale for?
Let me see.
Because if we're talking about Brady, I'm sure they're for the right price of $199.
Hang on a second. Let me... It's book club here on Paddy Pigskin. We're trying to go through. Yeah, it actually doesn't say, which is generally a bad sign.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. So if they seemed affordable, I'm sure he would have like popped it right away.
Oh, these are like $9.99. Go and get them.
Exactly. Right.
They're probably about like $100 or something like that. So I'll just read out a little bit about his famous resistance bands.
All right.
So at the TB12 Center, we use three different kinds of resistance strengthening. The bands aren't necessarily unique to us. Duh. You see them fucking everywhere.
Yeah, no shit.
But how we use them, that sets what we do apart from other training approaches. Sheeted bands. These bands have handles, which is why they're primarily used for exercises that emphasize the upper body.
$30.
Oh, that's not too bad. You want to get them? We'll go out and get them tomorrow, Sal.
I think we should. We should do the next podcast while doing the exercises. Okay. They seem really intense.
Yeah. The bands come with a strap that fits around a door or that can be anchored against any wall or solid
surface.
That
sounds so unique from every other band.
Yeah, exactly. And he gives a load of different tips about before you start. This is what you do. Yeah. And in fairness, a lot of them make sense. Like, he talks about form, etc., etc. Having good form is obviously crucial to doing any workout. Like, if you start off with the wrong form, that's never going to end well for you. And we spoke about this before we started recording. Like, I've done TRX, which is like a resistance-based,
which
was founded in the US military. It's a tough workout.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not calling bullshit on a lot of the resistance bands. Yeah. It's just the fact that he has his own, like, TB12 resistance bands.
I think it's a little annoying to brand it to that level, of course. I think the biggest thing that you and I have talked about where we just like, we're like, what else is happening is like, I just refuse to believe that all he's doing is using his resistance bands.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's stronger than he's ever been and he's like more resistant to hits than he's ever been.
Yeah.
Those things just don't feel completely realistic to me.
And here's a bullshit.
I totally believe the resistance bands workouts. I've had to do a ton of them before, just like rehab other things.
Yeah.
They're hard.
They are. They're definitely hard. Here's a bullshit one here. It's a squat.
Just holding a band.
Just holding the band.
Oh, but you didn't know that, like, by doing that, what actually happens is that your hip flexor becomes the strongest muscle in your entire body, and instantly you're immune from concussions.
Oh, fair enough. Oh, well, that makes a ton of sense.
Exactly.
Well, I'm never going to squat with weight on again.
Why would you?
He's got a couple, you know, there's a couple of chicks in here, and of course, they've all got the Under Armour shoes on.
I mean, they have to.
You
got to
have the product placement in there. So he's got, like, loads of different shit. He's got, like, planks. He's got single leg balances.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, you could fucking make one of your own bands.
And this is a big thing. You can buy these online for like $9.99 and do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, if you want to believe like everything he's saying like, I need to start doing these workouts, that's one thing. That's fine.
Yeah.
Like, you can do them, but you can just buy the not Tom Brady ones and not have to worry about the Tom Brady diet exactly and everything like that. To the point where, like, most people would not function well with this lifestyle that he's talking about. And to the point where, like, it's all right when you say in interviews, I just did this because a book wanted to know and they said they wanted to do a book on me. And I said, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But don't try to position it then at the same point as to say that this is something that I'm doing because I think this is the right way to work out. Yeah. I don't care how many times you say it's my opinion or any of that. At some point, you're either misinforming us or just intentionally doing
so. Yeah, I agree. He's got some good recipes. We'll wrap it up with some of the recipes. They look kind of good. He's got like, here's a nice one with potato in it. He's got lasagna, he has...
But I thought he was anti-potato.
I know, that's... I think it's
look
like...
Look at him making his
for all you peasants, here's the potatoes.
Exactly.
I can eat. He's got a nice chicken burger one here with radish in it. That looks decent. Roast chicken with pumpkin and... It's pumpkin season.
Yeah, that's fair.
Basic bitches would be all over this because it's pumpkin season.
There's no pumpkin spice, though.
There is no pumpkin spice, sadly. A salmon burger. So again, there's salmon in it. And he's supposed...
It's so weird because it's directly... like.
Yeah, it's
going against what he's saying.
But it has avocado salad in it, like you said. Everything has avocado in it. And he has the Brady Bowl. So the Brady Bowl is rabbit food, basically. It's a load of spinach, carrots. I think that's sweet potato in
there. That looks like sweet potato. Some brown rice there, probably.
Some brown rice and a bit of broccoli. And he's got a few smoothies in there. Yeah.
This
looks decent. Ice cream.
We've talked about this. I'm totally down to get some avocado ice cream. I think it'd be really good.
I love avocados and I love ice cream.
Yeah, so how can that
fuck it, why not combine it together?
So I guess if we're wrapping it up in this sense, I would say like this book is probably, and it's actually a fair sampling, I would say probably about half fake news and half somewhat legitimate.
Okay.
To that point where, like...
I would have to say yes.
I think you want to slant more towards the fake news percent of that split, but, like I'm being maybe a little bit, like, more generous when I say that, but...
Well, like, being a scientist, you're always, you know, you're programmed to critique something if it's not backed up by facts and references. There's no facts or references in this book. Basically, it has some acknowledgements at the end.
But I'm saying, like, at the same point, like, he is saying things, like, that some regards we say are, like, generally okay. Like,
yeah.
Avoid your red meats. That's a pretty typical thing. Avoid some acidic foods. That can make total sense. Certain flexibility training can do wonders.
Sure.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's missing a lot of the other parts that make it truly holistic.
Yeah.
And more applicable to everyone besides Mr. TB12.
Yeah. But the thing is, if you're going to make a statement like, you know, try and avoid... I know he qualifies him by saying, I find it best if I avoid... But you've got to be able to, if you're going to make those statements, you've got to have some form of reference in place.
And like, that's according to this study. Like, it's fine. Like, it's not as bad as I thought it would be. I think when we saw this come out, we both were like, this is going to be like 90% bullshit. It's better than that. I'll fully admit, like, it's less percent than I thought it would be. But it's just, it's not impactful enough to people who I think really want to look at it to find out something. To the point where, like, it's not relatable.
Yeah, well, it must be doing all right, because it seems to be flying up Amazon, so he...
It's going all right for now. We'll see how it goes in a few more weeks.
People are drinking the Kool-Aid, so, all right, I'm going to ask you, this is our first ever Paddy Pigskin book club, so we may do another one, if I'm feeling scientific.
Whatever you want to, I'm always here.
I've been doing this with my lab coat and goggles on, people may see the picture on Facebook. So we may do another one of these. So I'm going to ask you for your rating out of 5 stars. What are you going to give it? The TB12 method. How to achieve a lifetime of sustained peak performance.
Am I allowed half stars, or do I have to pick single numbers?
I'll give you... yes, I will allow half stars
okay.
to be
I'll go 2.5.
2.5? Okay, not far off. Yeah,
in the sense that, like, there's something there, but there's a whole lot of self... promotion.
Yeah, it's promoting the TB12 brand.
Yeah, and exactly. Which makes it
under
hard.
The name of the TB12 method.
I'll
give it 2 stars. Yeah. I'll give it 2 stars. just because, like, and that's mainly for... I'm giving the 2 stars because there's...
For,
like,
the face himself.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's, like, he's a god, and there are shortlist pictures of him. Could have been some more pictures of Giselle.
I know.
Just a couple of bikini shots in there, maybe.
Of her doing the plyo in a bikini. Yeah. I totally believe
and
that.
And, like, really squatting awesome. With one of the resistance bands. Definitely would have shot him up to at least a 4 out of 5. So maybe for the TB12 method volume 2.
Yeah.
Giselle, I know you listen to the show. If you're... Just take our advice on board. And get a few pictures of yourself in there. It'll fly up. It'll be a New York Times bestseller. Okay, that's the end of our slating, Mr. Brady. Let's move on to our week 5 picks.
Let's do it.
So we got 4 teams on a bye this week. The boys are starting to come in. We got the Broncos are on a bye, Atlanta Falcons, New Orleans Saints, and the Washington Redskins. So first up, Thursday Night Football. Big one for you, New England Patriots at your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who have you got?
So I realized listening to the podcast that I've actually gone against my preseason pick when I ran through game by game of the season. For the last 2 weeks, I've been wrong both times because I was actually right on the podcast.
Okay.
So I'm going to stick to it right now. I'm going to say Bucs are going to lose to the Pats.
Okay.
I'll tell you right now, if the Bucs beat the Patriots, I'm coming on next week as the most unabashed, we're going to the Super Bowl, just drunken rant. Because I will fully believe.
I'll have the Bears ready.
Exactly. I can't
I don't think they'll lose 2 in a row, so I got the Patriots winning that.
I think that's a fair call.
San Francisco at the Indianapolis Colts.
So this is a weird one. So you have a 1-3 Colts team. Andrew Luck is already confirmed to not be playing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the 49ers there, 0-4.
Yeah.
And I know that the odds are probably going on the Colts. But I just feel like San Francisco is too good to not have won a game.
You're just failing this. You're failing the 49ers.
Well, they've been close for the last 3 straight games.
Yeah, that's true.
They were, like, they were a field goal away from the Seahawks. They were 2 points away from the Rams. And then they lost in overtime to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
To the point where, like,
they're
not the worst. That they could, like, win this game. And, like, they have not been playing badly.
Okay. So you got the 49ers.
Yeah. Are you going Colts?
Oh, you got the Colts. I think it might be a bit of an ugly one. But I think the Colts will win this.
Oh, I think it's going to be like a 13-10 match. But
Another one. Yeah. Jets at Cleveland Browns, which at the start of the year, this would have been like...
I know.
Oh, just a horror show. But the Jets are kind of good
We all
now.
Thought they were 0-4.
Yeah.
So I'm going to probably pick exactly the opposite of what you're going to do again here. I'm going the Browns.
Okay.
It's my first time that I'm going to be using the poo emoji.
The poo emoji gets its first showing under Barry's column.
The first time.
Barry's row radar.
Maybe I like reverse that because we've had it for the last like 2 or 3 weeks in
yes,
a row.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Is it because
the Jets have won both the games at home? They've been playing better. They play horrifically bad away from home. Yeah. And I just feel like if you look at the Browns, like, and we talked about this, we think they're going to win a few games this year.
Mm, yeah.
To a point where, like, if there's ever a game to win, it's probably this one.
Yeah. Very good point. And Myles Garrett is back.
Yep.
So that could be the catalyst. You're still picking the Jets.
Yeah. Again, I like this. We're picking exact opposites here.
Jacksonville at Pittsburgh.
All right. So I think this one we're going to agree on. I got Steelers. Yep. Big Ben is much better at home. There's no comparison there. Bortles is bad on the road.
Yep.
And not in London.
And that's true. And Antonio Brown's going to have about 250 yards for about 50 TDs after his little shift.
50 TDs.
just a slight underestimation.
Exactly, yeah.
Carolina at Detroit.
So I think this is going to be a really good
game. It's a good one.
But the problem here is that I just saw Brady pretty much light up the secondary without like much of his options and like yep. without really any running game. I think Stafford has a field day. And okay. Especially in Detroit, I think Lions win this one. They go 4-1.
Okay.
Lions should be 5-0, by the way. I know we didn't talk about this, but that like callback. Yeah, like, yeah. Take touchdown.
Yeah, you're dead right. I've been told on the Facebook by one of our listeners to stop picking against the Lions. So, yeah, I'm going to give the Lions some love this week.
There we go.
I'm going with Detroit.
I was the only one to actually pick them to beat the Vikings.
That's right, you are. Yeah. and here we go. Two shit teams. The Los Angeles Chargers against my New York Giants.
So, I don't know if you're happy to hear this or not. I'm going with the Giants. Okay. It's at home for them. Yes. I have to believe that they win that one game.
Okay.
Rivers will make it close, but I think that you guys will have enough in the secondary to give him issues. All right. To a point where like they have the most porous run defense in the league right now. If there's ever a game for Gallman
to get
the
running game going, yeah.
I think this is the game.
Yeah.
And I think it will do wonders for you guys as far as confidence.
Yeah. It's funny, like Rivers and Manning could have been playing for opposite teams if it wasn't for Archie stepping in. I have the Giants too. Okay. Now this one, Tennessee at Miami. If Mariota plays, I think Tennessee win.
I know.
I don't think he's going to be playing.
No, here's the problem.
Matt Castle's in there, is he?
So they signed a third-string quarterback, which is a bad sign.
Brandon Whedon?
Yeah. So this is a bad sign already. But every report there says that it's a strain and that they could see him playing.
Okay.
So the problem here is that because of how you won't let us change our picks later.
It's locked in.
So if you ever let us change our picks, I would have picked Titans now and then change it to Dolphins if they announce an out.
Okay.
I'm going to go Titans.
Well, I actually had a question mark here. Yeah. I said if Mariota plays, Tennessee.
But if
he's out, Miami.
So who are you picking?
Well, I don't put the picks up until Sunday.
Okay, but you got to commit now on the show.
Okay. shit, you put me in a corner now. Fuck it, Tennessee.
All right.
Arizona at Philly.
To be fair, Jay Cutler could still find a way to lose to Matt Castle.
That's true. Right, Arizona, Philly.
I got Philly in this one. I think Arizona is good, but they're a much worse team away from home. They're much worse out of a dome.
Yep.
And the Eagles are realizing they have a real chance to try to take this division this year.
Oh, absolutely,
The Giants are just not doing it. Redskins have been falling short. And the Cowboys look surprisingly vulnerable on defense.
Yes.
To the point where they say, if we can come out of this week and we're 4-1, and the Cowboys could be 2-3 later, as we're going to talk about, that could be a huge scenario. So I think they're super motivated for this game, especially at home.
So you got Philly winning?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have the young gun outjoels the old gunslinger is what I had written down for this
game. That's very fair.
Buffalo at Cincinnati.
I don't know what to think about this. Because Cincinnati looked good last week, but it was the Browns. So, like, who's to really say?
Yeah.
The Bills keep upsetting me in my picks.
I know.
So I'd rather pick the Bills this time.
And Shady came after all of us last week. He fucking went off. And I was like, all right, I'm listening. Yeah, I'm listening.
Very, very surprised.
I'm listening to Shady now. I'm picking Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm picking Buffalo here. Okay. Also, can we just say how shocking it is that Joe Mixon still has not gotten a majority of the touches?
Crazy.
Like,
he's just not
showing up.
Maybe
they just don't like him.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
It's crazy, though, because you pick him in the second round, or you figure you just almost force feed that.
Yeah. Seahawks at the LA Rams. Tough divisional game here. This is a big one for the division.
So this one's so much more interesting than I thought it was going to be. And I think it's going to be a real toss-up. I think Seahawks pull this one out. I know that Rams have won 3 of the last 4 matchups, and I would not be shocked at all if they did it. To me, it comes down to which one would I feel dumber if I was wrong?
Yep.
So if I picked the Rams and the Seahawks just pull them out, I'd be like, what was I thinking? Versus, again, if I pick the Seahawks and the Rams win, I'd be like, oh, what a genuine surprise. So I'm going to go Seahawks.
I'm going Seahawks with a tight one.
I think we're going to see a lot of Rams picks in this panel this week.
Oh, yeah. I've had a look around. I've seen people all over the place picking Rams.
Yeah. ESPN has them as the favorite right now as far as yeah. I pick them. Like, more people pick them. So yeah, it's
that's
crazy.
Not surprising. Baltimore at Oakland.
So this is a hard one. So for me, I feel very strongly about this, but Vegas feels the opposite of what I do, which naturally means I'm probably wrong. Vegas has the Raiders as a 2.5-point favorite at home, which is strange because they're starting E.J. Manuel.
Yep.
Derek Carr's already out. E.J. Manuel looks horrible.
Yep.
And without him, Marshawn Lynch is not going to carry you to a win because they're using him in a much more reduced role this year. Maybe he has a huge game. Who knows? But I feel like Baltimore scores a road win here off their defense just holding the Raiders' offense to enough.
Okay. I'm going opposite. I think Oakland's still might win it.
Yeah, and I can totally see it. Their defense is good enough to just totally make that game happen.
Yeah, and the Ravens have been bad on offense, and yep. they had a stinker in London, so could be stuck in their head. Yep. Couple more. Green Bay at Dallas, a repeat of the NFC divisional game. I got a boner watching that field goal go over. It was fucking amazing.
Dude,
it was.
You and me both.
Everybody, I think.
Yeah, I know. Everyone besides who lives in Dallas.
Apart from Cowboy fans.
I can totally see the Cowboys winning this game in a revenge game. I'm going Green Bay. I feel like Rodgers realizes how big it is to set the tone for the season right now. He had his last big matchup against the Falcons, did not go well. And I think he doesn't want to come into this saying, great, now we lost at Atlanta and we lost at Dallas.
Yep.
I think Green Bay wins.
I think Green Bay wins as well. Goff did well against Dallas.
They beat them in Dallas to a point where it makes me think like that defense looks very vulnerable right now.
Sunday night, Kansas City at Houston.
So I know Deshaun has been looking great. I know you had him in the DraftKings League.
Yes,
I know it was great.
Yes, he won the DraftKings League for me. Thank you very much.
Kansas City looks like such a complete team to me right now, to the point where I just don't believe it's going to happen. I think Kansas City wins this one. Like, maybe it's close, but if not, like, I can see it getting to a pretty handy win.
Okay, yeah, I have them. Kansas City go to 5-0 as well. And we will wrap it up. Monday Night Football, Minnesota Vikings at the Bears.
So this is like the biggest wild card of the week because Mitch Trubisky is making his first ever start. And I want to believe that the Vikings are going to win this game. They have a superior defense. Even though it's on the road, they'll be fine. And I'm picking them. But I'm so interested to see how Trubisky actually plays. Because we talked about this. Glennon played well. Glennon didn't even make it 5 games.
Yeah, I think I said he would get 8.
Yeah,
he didn't
I
even get
that was like 6.
He just got half of that. So
yeah. So like we were both
of us out. And Minnesota now lost Dalvin Cook.
Exactly.
Poor old Jer. Jer has had, he had David Johnson in his fantasy team, and now Dalvin Cook, he's jinxed forever. Like, he's going to go out.
It's not going well. Yeah, he's the greatest number one pick ever.
So, we're both agreeing with the Vikings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vikings for this.
Okay, Barry, that wraps up our week 5 picks. Hopefully we can do, you did all right. I was 1 win behind you, right?
You weren't bad there.
You were 10-6, I was 9-7.
9-7. In total for the season, I have...
You're a couple of wins ahead.
You're 7 games behind, but again, there's still 13 weeks to go. So
we need to get our shit together.
There's a lot of time for you to catch up.
Barry, thanks very much for coming on. We covered loads. We covered our rivalry, our blossoming rivalry now.
Yeah.
We talked shit about TB12 and we covered our week 5 picks. So thank you very much for coming back on.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So we will wrap up episode 16 with my week 5 installment of the fantasy football segment, Paddy's Picks. So I'll recap my picks from week 4 to start off. So my hits and misses. Started off with an okay one with Trevor Siemian, quarterback of the Broncos versus the Oakland Raiders. 179 yards and a passing touchdown. Good for only 11.26 points, so not a great start there. Again, running back, mediocre pick with Jay Ajoye in his hometown of London for the Dolphins versus the Saints. Dolphins laid a big, fat, juicy goose egg, and Ajoye had only 46 rushing yards and 8 receiving yards for 5.4 points. But here is where it got shit done. Wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins of the Houston Texans versus Tennessee Titans. Thank fuck I had him and his quarterback Deshaun Watson in my DraftKings lineup. Pretty much won me the money in the Paddy Pigskin League. DeAndre had 107 yards on 10 catches and a touchdown for 16.7 points. So pretty solid pick there, wide receiver. Tight end, another bum, Kyle Rudolph. had another poor game from a fantasy standpoint with only 3.4 points. He had 34 yards. Defense did well here, as expected, with the Seattle Seahawks at home to the Indianapolis Colts. They got an int, they got a forced fumble, and they got 2 touchdowns. Good for 20 points. And kicker, finally told you to start the Packers' Mason Crosby versus the Chicago Bears. He only made 5 PATs for 5 points. So let's try and do better this week in week 5. Just a reminder, in case you didn't hear it early on in the show, there are teams on buys this week. So the teams on buys are the Falcons, the Broncos, the Saints, and the Redskins. So if you have players on your fantasy lineups from these teams, make sure you drop them. I gave you a warning. If you don't, it's your own fault, and you're probably going to lose your matchup. So whatever. Quarterback. Going with the man who just beat my Giants, sadly. Jameis Winston of the Buccaneers going up against the Pats. Pats are the worst, and I say worst, and it makes me so happy to say it, worst defense in the NFL. They give up an average of 457 yards per game through 4 weeks. That's about 60 yards more than the 31st ranked defense. And they give up most fantasy points, 26.6 per game, to quarterbacks this year. So start Jameis Winston playing on Thursday Night Football, color rush game. Running back, and coming back to Carlos Hyde of the 49ers versus Indy this week. He did well for me last time. Hyde has 13 plus PPR points in all 4 games so far, and the Colts are giving up an average of 26 PPR points to backs this year. So start Carlos Hyde of the 49ers. Wide receiver, Larry Fitz, going up against the Eagles. Larry's looking like he's 21 again. The Eagles secondary looks vulnerable. They've given up the 6th most PPR points to number one receivers in 2017. So start Larry Fitz. Tight end, bit of a sleeper with Charles Clay, rather, of the AFC East leading Buffalo Bills, going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. Surprisingly, he has the 3rd most PPR fantasy points so far, and I believe he'll keep getting targets this week. Wide receiver Jordan Matthews is out injured for the Bills. So start Charles Clay against Cincinnati. Defense, Lions versus Panthers. Obviously going with the Lions here. Somehow, they're number one actually in fantasy, and they were on my waiver wire in my league, so I picked them up for this one. They've scored 12 plus points in all 4 games this year. I fancy them to keep it going against Cam Newton. And to wrap up, kicker. I'm getting greedy now, as this is the 3rd time in 5 weeks, but I'm going with Cowboys Dan Bailey versus the Packers. I'm expecting a shootout, and the Packers have allowed 2 kickers to hit 9+ points so far this year. So they are my week 5 fantasy football Paddy's picks. And that wraps up episode 16 of Paddy Pigskin. Thank you very much for tuning in. We had great fun doing this episode. I hope you had fun listening to it. You can catch us on all the social media. Check out the graphics we put up during the week on Facebook. We also put some up on Instagram, and we tweet a little bit as well. Just search for Paddy Pigskin there. And we're on loads of different directories, as I said before. We're in iTunes, we're in Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn. Check them out and make sure you subscribe. And tell your mates, if your mates are into football and they want to hear a couple of Irish guys and a few American guys on a show talking a bit of shit and having a bit of fun about football, let them know. Spread the good gospel of Paddy Pigskin. So that wraps up this week's show. Thanks very much for tuning in again. Tune in next week where, as always, we will have less slant and more slantcha. Take care.